We're here to help you on the beat. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Jared Payton, Tommy Christian. TC Boost is in our studio, former Wildcat, now making your life better if you're training to get to the next level. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete. Tommy does train those two, including Jamie Moriarty, who was an Olympic bobsledder back in 2010. He's dropping names like Rashard Mendenhall in the studio right now. Jared Payton's looking at him all googly-eyed. Tommy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You don't look like a trainer. You got the grizzled beard. You look like
well, to me he does. I mean, that's where the wisdom comes from.
See, the gray hair comes wisdom.
Like, I want to go into a room with you and sit down and go full psychology couch type of Sigmund Freud look.
I'm thinking more about maybe going to a bar or something, just sit down, have a brewski or something.
That'll work too. We could be in the mountains. We got a lot going on here with the Olympics and guys getting to and women for that matter getting to the next level. Now, you've had an Olympic athlete who we just mentioned in Jamie. What do they go through to get from somebody who has played whatever sport they played their entire life, and now August 5th, this coming Friday, the Olympics starts, and you want to be obviously at the best you can possibly be. Like, what goes on leading up to it, or are they already done? I mean, if they already put in the work and just ready to flow.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly better have already put in that work, or they shouldn't expect to have a great outcome. Certainly, you know, in the moment, their mental approach and their confidence will have a big impact on how they do. But I think the interesting thing about the Olympics is because it's every 4 years, there's such a tremendous buildup. You know, you think about a NFL player, they have 16 regular season games. Every year, an Olympian, they've got to wait 4 years for that one game. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure in this whole kind of training and, you know, sort of in silence leading up to the Olympics. And then you learn about all the Olympians other than, you know, maybe the big names like Usain Bolt. You know, there's a lot of stories that we're going to learn about in the next couple of weeks. And those stories have been, you know, more than 4 years in the making.
Yeah, it's crazy to kind of think about your training, because you never know what could happen, right? You train to try to get to the Olympics, and you could be leading up to the week before, and there's an injury that pops up, and then next thing you know, you're like, it's not like playing any other sport. When you look at some of the things that are going on with, like, you hear about the Russians and all that stuff with the doping and all that stuff, how does that come across? Because everybody's trying to get an edge, everybody's trying to win, everybody's trying to train, but it seems like some people want it a little bit better than everybody else.
Well, you know, I think it's a shame. You know, if you're competing, you want to be competing on a level playing field. You know, there has to be enforcement of rules, and athletes that are cheating to get ahead, to get an edge, you know, really sends a bad message to our kids in terms of, you know, what takes place in life. And I think sports are kind of a microcosm of life. And what are the things that we're teaching? You know, most of our athletes are youth, and if they're fortunate to be world class, you know, they're still competing maybe into their early 30s. But I just think it's human nature to look for that sort of easy way out, or you want to kind of create that edge. But at the end of the day, it's cheating, and it's, I think it's good that they enforce it. They need to. It sort of discredits a lot of numbers, and it's hard to really, you know, slot, I think, over history, athletes that are cheating, athletes that aren't, you know, who really was truly the best. They're all world-class athletes. You know, just some are cheating.
Well, and you listen, you played at Northwestern. That was back in the Gary Barnett era.
Way back.
So, well, anyone, you've also coached there for, you know, post that. So, listen, I don't think anyone is naive that some guys in college football are doing things that others are not to get an edge. And some guys are just, I don't know, 20, 30 pounds heavier and just as fast. And how did you make that happen? So, I mean, I would assume that you would run across guys who have that temptation and want to do something that can make them better on the field, but don't want to get caught, mm-hmm. but are willing to take that risk. I mean, how often does that conversation, now obviously not naming any names, but how often does that conversation happen?
As we train, especially in the youth population, we have that conversation a lot, because young athletes, high school athletes, very, you know, they're influenced easily by their friends, by the guy behind the GNC counter. So, you know, we really preach that, yes, you can expect transformational results with proper training, but it's a commitment to a process that takes time, and there's not a way to cheat and shorten that process and have the ultimate long-term outcome that you want. So, you know, being at Northwestern, I don't see it. You know, we talk about it. You know, athletes know there's a lot of communication about what's NCAA approved supplements, what's legal. The university abides very closely by that. In my experience, you know, and all the time that I was there, but there are athletes behind closed doors. You don't know what they're doing, and so it's really messages of, I think, just integrity and character that go into it. You know, and in the end, if you're supplementing, you're taking steroids, the muscles are developing strength faster than the connective tissue can handle. Mm. Ultimately, you're going to wind up, you know, probably having some more ruptured tendons, maybe cartilage. So,
yeah,
it's good.
I don't know what went on at the U.
Oh, nothing. We didn't have anything like that going on, man.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, not that I know of, but Tommy,
put him on the spot.
Tommy, you walked in and we were talking about, you know, training, and you know, when I trained for the NFL back in 2003, right after, it was 2004, right after the Orange Bowl. And I remember going to Don Beebe and training and working, but it was like I was learning how to work, but I wasn't learning how to eat as well. It was just like, put all this work in, mm-hmm. but I was still at sometimes leaving there and maybe going to McDonald's and grabbing something to eat because I was hungry. Where now it seems like that you guys and having this, not only working out, but the nutrition that goes along with it, mm-hmm. as well, is so much more prevalent in the business.
Yeah, it is. And at the level where the economics are there, we're involving a sports nutritionist, a chef, you know, and able to provide that because it is critical. You know, it's a third of the equation. You have the training stimulus, you have the nutrition, and then you have the rest. And if you want to have the best outcome, you know, you need all three of those.
Oof. Let's talk what's realistic here, because I'm in my early 40s here, and I'm wondering, you know, I watched a guy yesterday playing tennis. He was playing court one in his 60s, at least, not missing a shot, running around playing singles, and I got this dream telling me that that's going to be me, that at 60 I'm still going to be moving here,
yeah.
And maybe at 70, who knows, right. I can't give up the dream here. One of these days, I'm going to get to the level that I want to get to. Maybe it's going to take me to get to 70 years old before I can beat the guys that I want to beat. I think, you know, a lot of people in our, you know, our WGN listeners who are maybe trying to stay on the court, just get fit right now. So, like, how do you go? Just take your standard guy who works out once or twice a week and still plays in his softball league or whatever, but is, you know, on the verge of perhaps blowing something out because he's really not doing exactly what he should be doing. Like, what would you tell that person to do?
Yeah, I think I would tell them to, number one, make sure that you're working with somebody on a program that is designed for an athlete, not going into a Bally's and counting reps on a machine, you know, because all of the things that they're doing in life and on the court are movement based, very functional. And then when we train, we want to train in that same way. So, you know, you're looking at movement patterns. In order to have good movement patterns, first thing you have to have is good core stability. You have to have mobility, you know, so you really, you know, and as you get older, unfortunately, our bodies don't naturally drift towards perfection, you know, but they drift the other way. And so we're fighting an uphill battle. But in order to maintain good mobility, which we lose as we get older, you know, if we lose mobility, then we get compensation patterns and injuries. So you need to be training really where you have a good program in place that develops mobility, training in a place where you're able to learn how to move well. So you're able to learn how to shuffle, to jump. You have to be careful of jumping as you get older, but you need to still develop those plyometric abilities, train your tendons, because you know, if you don't do that, you know, you're in an office all day, you go to Bally's, you count reps on a machine, and then you go out to the court, the likelihood of rupturing an Achilles, you know, or something just going out really high.
Listen,
I'm listening.
You need to move, and we can help you.
Okay. So it's, I've heard that before. JP, I'm sure this resonates with you as well, because you do a ton of training. As far as just what you're, it's not just training, it's what you're doing.
What I've done in being out of football since 2010, you know, my main goal, and I had to come up with some type of goal for me to reach. And what I wanted to do was to be able to, when my son would ask me when I, you know, he turns 14 or 15 and he says, "Dad, show me how to run this route or show me how you do this jump shot." I wanted to be able to show him. And so for me, I had to go through and really changed my diet, changed my eating habits. I wasn't a guy that drank a lot of water. I just kind of ate whatever I wanted to. And now I've had to kind of taper back on what I eat and watch what I eat. And it's not that I'm working out as much. I just have taken all these different things that I've learned over my career, and I've kind of put it into a small little program that I do myself. And I don't run a lot. I ride on the bike, and I try to save my knees as much as possible. So I'm 35 and I feel good. So sorry.
I want to talk about the mental side of training and going to the next level. So let's do that when we come back here. It's 312-981-7200. If you have any question for Tommy, wherever you're at, and you're just trying to take that next step forward, Tommy is here to help you. And if you haven't worked out for 3 years, we can start right there. So give us a shout if you want some help on this fine Sunday afternoon. 312-981-7200. Tommy Christian, TC Boost, is in studio on 720 WGN. Woo! 720 WGN. Tommy Christian, the director of training for TC Boost. You can check him out on the web, TC Boost, just how you think it would be, tcboost.com. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Jared Payton.
Don't forget.
Yes.
Tommy actually, he put it out there last time he was here. He said that if we wanted to come work out, that we could come. We could actually bring like some cameras. And so, yeah, Carm, I know you're ready to go. It might be Hogue that's holding us.
Well,
back.
Make it happen.
Well, there's this thing in life called approach and avoid, and right now we're in full avoidance. So it's time for us to approach. I completely agree. I gotta walk the talk. I'm supposed to run a 10K next Saturday morning. I've done no training, Tommy. So I was told yesterday we had Dr. Anil Gadadra on. He was saying just run 1.5. Tomorrow, actually said that, run that last night, which would be today. None of that's going to happen. So now we're at Monday. Run 1.5, 2.5, 3.5, add a mile on each day and do a lot of foam rolling and you'll be okay. You
this,
buy into that or
in
no?
5 days?
Saturday, yeah.
I don't think it really matters what you do. You're going to suffer a little bit.
Massive suffering, right?
I think so. It's going to be a mental toughness.
It's just going to be a... Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm on... He told me to take Advil beforehand, Advil after.
Hydrate. Yep.
Shin splints are probably likely.
Most likely. Mm-hmm. Don't buy new shoes. Make sure you have good shoes.
I mean, I don't have running shoes. Can I run in a nice little?
Buy new shoes.
Buy new shoes? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to do a little training this week. I'm going to try to run each day, just at least a couple miles. 1 mile, 2 miles. See how, and if I break down before, and then it's an excuse. All right. So I want to talk mental side here.
And go ahead.
So you got all these guys who are super talented, and they're all working out with yourself or different trainers, yet there's a certain edge that some, however they find it, get where they either believe in themselves or they orient to the moment where however they handle their fear, they use it to propel them. I mean, what's your experience as far as guys who are super successful when it really matters?
It's really eye-opening in the NFL combine prep work that we do, because that's a very objective, measurable, performance event as opposed to a team sport game. And as we train those athletes and they get raised, it's very similar to an Olympian. You know, Olympian, you know, like we talked about earlier, the pressure is probably a lot more because it's a 4-year process. It's all they've got is their time. Ultimately, you go away from that in football, but the thing that is so true, and I always think of it as, you know, when you have those dreams where you're running in jello and you can't get away from the bad guy, you know, I think that's what your mind can do to you if you go up to the line. You know, you put your hand down or whatever the event is, and you believe that you're just not sure how you're going to do, and you're worried about it, and you have this anxiety, and the anxiety actually inhibits your motor patterns. It inhibits your ability to be explosive and fast and to run with rhythm.
It's tough, though, Tommy. It's tough, man.
It's a lot of pressure.
I mean, it's pressure I'll never forget. I'll never forget for everything that we trained to put your hand down and get in your stance. And then next thing you know, you're at the combine and you see that all these people are standing there with stopwatches and that your life kind of depends. Right. For guys that are able to do it, more power to them. But I knew a bunch of guys that were like, yo, that didn't run good times because they couldn't get that part out. Right. They were thinking about, this is my only shot, and not able to block that moment out and just run and do everything
right.
mentally. And like, right. you know, your body's been through it already. You remember how many times guys run 40s? Right? But it's tough when you got your think about your bank account.
It is. And it's not, you know, I always, when we train athletes, it's like, you know, covering the best receiver is a lot harder than running this 40. You know, running through a hole, making a big block on a DN, or you know. So it's ultimately you've run your whole life. It, I say, you've never been more prepared in your life to run a fast 40. Just cut it loose, be excited, and believe that you know you're gonna have nervous energy, and you have to know and believe that that's gonna actually make you run better. And yeah. We were talking earlier about, you know, Rashard Mendenhall in the process of his preparation and, you know, coming up to the combine. You know, you go through a tapering process, you reduce the workload, and during that time, the work you've put in beforehand really begins to blossom when you taper.
Got a question for you. Do you go with guys when they go to the
combine?
To the combine.
This year I went with Danny Vitale and Dean Lowry from Northwestern, but I was just there. You can't really be that involved. So I'll be there at some of their pro timing days, depending on the school's rules regarding that. But usually you're sending them off and they're on their own.
Yeah, that's normal how it is. Because I just saw a video and I saw some guys that were actually getting work done in like a ballroom or something, yeah. doing 40s right. and stuff. So I didn't know how much you could actually be around.
Yeah, you can be around a little bit, but once they go out to run, you're not out there. They're on their own.
I thought one of the interesting things you just said there, as far as, you know, the anxiety and whatnot, it's you're going to be excited. But some people are certain, I think a lot of people, when I say that, I'm talking about myself, look at that excitement as, oh no, I'm scared. And then you let that get in the way. Whereas you can look at, you're feeling that fear, but it's really just, you're just excited, man. Like, let's go. Like, use it to fuel you. I don't know if you were successful doing that, JP.
Sometimes. I mean, the games were easy. It was all this other stuff that gets you kind of mentally sidetracked. Mm-hmm. But I know there's a lot of people probably out there, Tommy, that haven't been to a gym or haven't stepped in a long time, and they're afraid to go.
Right.
You know, like they don't, because they know that there's going to be some hard work to kind of either get right. What do you have to say to those people that are looking for a place but are like, no, I'm afraid to step back into that realm?
Right. I think they just have to go. They have to break through that fear, and they're going to find that it's not that bad. They're going to find that they're going, you know, hopefully if they find a good place, you know, I mean, I know a good place in Northbrook, but you know, you need to find a good place where you could be coached well, you know, I think it'll become part of what they do. It'd be part of their routine. And I think, you know, I'm a father of three girls, and I want to be there for my family. My motivation is not to play on Sundays. I want to live a high quality life for as many years as I have. And when are you going to start? You know, when are you going to make that change? Because you have to start building that habit and get through that fear. But I think most coaches, most facilities, they want to make people feel comfortable, I think, and then push them. But I think the fear is just something you got to go through.
So we got about 2 minutes here. So you're talking about, you know, somebody walking through the door, and you got to build that rapport. Like, they got to trust
exactly,
you. They got to trust you. You got to make them want to be there. Otherwise, they're going to do the old approach, avoid. You know, Tommy, it was cool, but, you know, I got a six pack at home, or I got a lot of work, or whatever excuse you can come up with. I mean, what's your process as far as getting people to feel like, yes, this is what I want to be doing, and I'm going to feel, I don't know, completely nourished coming out of here?
Well, I think it comes down to really your assessment of what somebody needs. You know, having those conversations, going through maybe a formal assessment, or at least sitting down and saying, you know, what are you looking to get out of this? And really understanding injury history, understand the person that you're dealing with so that you can serve them well. And then you can create a program or recommend a group program that fits them well, rather than just saying, you know, we're going to treat every single person the same, because we all have a lot of baggage, whether that's injury history or some fear of some exercise. So it's really finding that ability to really understand and assess what's going on, and then developing a program around that.
Get out there and do it.
TC Boost, baby.
There's a reason that you are listening to 720 WGN right now when Tommy Christian was in the studio. This was meant for you. This is your moment. I know you're feeling it, right?
I'm going to run a hill right now after this, man.
Not you. You're good. You work out. You work out all the time. I'm talking to somebody that's in their car at home.
I understand.
You know what I'm talking about. Who hasn't done it, but yet they need the spirit to move them.
That's right.
So, all right. Tommy Christian, TC Boost will be with you. To help you, and also will be with the Wildcats when they go to the Rose Bowl this year.
All right. Thank you.
You can feel that?
I can feel it.
There we go.